Steelers sure are mad. And I think their fans, unless I'm grossly misreading this, are even madder. Good morning to you on this Thanksgiving Day. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this, the newly reborn DK Sports Radio Podcasting Network. Here's hoping that your holiday is a happy one and a safe one. We're all being asked to do things a little bit differently than we've done them in the past, and that also goes for today. Again, hoping that yours can be both happy and safe, and that we can all get back to normal life sooner rather than later. The Steelers and Ravens, of course, had their game moved. Should have been tonight. It's now going to be Sunday at 1:15 p.m. at Heinz Field. Still on NBC. Still blackout free. The main difference, you know, in addition to losing the audience that you would have had tonight, and that's really NBC's loss more than it is anybody else's, is that the 5,000 or so fans who were going to go, who had tickets to go, aren't going to be able to now. The Steelers, because of the new edict from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, are going to limit who's in the stadium to just family, friends, and people working there. But you can see from the Pittsburgh perspective why it would get taken hard. From the fan standpoint, you know, you're excited. It's something everybody had been looking forward to as soon as the schedule was announced, seeing the Ravens on Thanksgiving and knowing that the whole country would be watching us and, you know, to whatever extent we would have been able to pull it off, have those classy night shots of downtown Pittsburgh and the Point and everything else. And all of that gets blown up to an extent. You know, that the blimp will still be around on Sunday. They'll still have shots of the city and everything else, but it's not the same. From the players' perspective, I really get it. They're putting a lot into keeping their locker room almost completely clean. There was the incident, of course, with Vance McDonald, isolated, caught very quickly, kept from spreading to the rest of the team. I'd like to think, without knowing the facts, that that's the result of some systematic diligence, some discipline that's being instilled over on the south side. The rest of the guys, they're going through it. You've heard some of their stories along the way. And it's not to compare them to someone who's, a naval engineer living for 6 months underwater on a submarine. But these athletes aren't trained for this sort of thing. They're not used to it. And although I don't hear them vocally complain, I can tell that there are certain parts of it that are tough. They'd like to be able to get around and do things. They'd like to be able to see more family and friends than they do on a regular basis. But they're strictly forbidden, and they follow that. And as a result, they take pride whenever they, as a group, as the Steelers, report to work with no positive tests. And then, of course, they report to work again on Sunday when it really matters, with no positive tests, and they can make a difference for their team. It's a team thing. It's a pride thing. It's the kind of thing that would bug you when first the Titans and then the Ravens don't do that. The Ravens, last night, made clear that they were disciplining a team staffer who had, according to this release that they put out, and it was very brief and didn't get into any kind of specifics, contributed to the spread of the virus through the Ravens roster. It turned out, not a whole lot later, the Baltimore Sun reported that it was the team's strength and conditioning coach who was walking around without a mask, who showed up at the facility despite having coronavirus symptoms and not having reported them. Whoever this is, they basically did everything wrong. They didn't give the name out, and they do have more than one strength person, so it's not clear what the individual's name is. But somebody really blew it there, and that ultimately, as I said with the Tennessee situation, reflects badly on the head coach. When it's one individual like a Vance McDonald or even a couple, and the Steelers have had, you know, a couple of issues, to me, that's just the virus becoming more prevalent, you know, and we've seen the maps across the United States right now. It's pretty bad everywhere. But in this case, you know, you can live with it because you know the team dealt with it. You know it wasn't allowed to spread. It wasn't something like a strength coach standing there in the weight room with no mask, interacting with way too many athletes for that to have been allowed by anyone. And I might mention the athletes themselves. So, yeah, be mad about it. Use it to fire yourself up even further for Sunday if you're the Steelers. Go nuts. Go nuts. Take it out on them. They're going to be missing seven guys at last count. It's seven. Remember, this could continue on. Their top two running backs, Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. Defensive tackle, Brandon Williams. Outside linebacker, Pernell McPhee. Reserve quarterback, Trace McSorley, the one from Penn State. Cornerback, Iman Marshall, who might be needed because their regular corners are banged up as well. Calais Campbell, their best defensive player. The big signing that they got won't be able to play. He showed up on the COVID list. He also was banged up in the previous game that the Ravens played against the Titans. Two offensive linemen, Patrick McCurry and their starting center, Matt Skura. This is a team that's just begging to be obliterated. So, you know, go ahead and do that. Take care of business. I don't see really the negative fallout from the Steelers' end anywhere near the way I see my own anger / disappointment with the NFL and with these teams that aren't following protocols. I'm way more focused on them than on Pittsburgh. To me, the Steelers are entering this game in fine shape. Way better shape than what anyone could have anticipated going into an arch rival matchup like this. They have the Ravens in a terribly vulnerable spot. Go out there, take care of business, finish them off, get Mason Rudolph in the fourth quarter, you know? Do that 3 weeks in a row. I'm not saying that'll happen. I'm not making a prediction. But realistically, you tell me what, other than the history of these two teams, would compel anyone to suggest that this is going to be some, you know, close game, some typical Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, some nail-biter. Why? Why? What have we seen from Lamar Jackson when he's faced the Steelers? Nothing. And Keith Butler was classy about it a couple days ago when asked if the Steelers have solved him. We didn't solve him. He's the dadgum MVP. Butler came right back, but they have. They have. There's a blueprint out. Everybody's copied it. Mike Vrabel copied it when the Titans went into Baltimore and knocked off the Ravens as 14-2 in the first round of playoffs. Vrabel openly acknowledged that afterward. They saw what Pittsburgh did to them. Other teams have now seen that too, and in fact, Tennessee did it to him again just this past weekend. The Baltimore offense isn't the radical novelty that it was, and more important, more to the point, they don't have their running backs, and even if they did, their offensive line is nowhere near what it was when they were 14-2. The retirement of Marshall Yanda was always going to be a big, big impact, but you also lose your starting left tackle, you lose your starting center, you have others now who are iffy heading into this week, you're not running. You're not running. You're not asking Lamar Jackson to do all the running either. He's going to end up getting hurt. What are you going to have him do? Put the ball up in the air? Yes, please. Yes, please. Defensively, the Ravens are usually a challenge, and they're still going to be one in their secondary, but not as much as they would be, not with Marcus Peters still on the injury list. Technically considered out yesterday, even though the Ravens didn't practice, they still have to put out a list, and they had Peters down with his ankle as out. They're missing other guys, and the Steelers have an opportunity, as they've kind of hinted at over the course of the week, that they might do is go out there with a big set, see what happens. Force Baltimore to put their big guys out there too, because they don't have that many. Go at them, pound them, finish them. And you know what? As far as this bye stuff goes, I really hope that doesn't become this big recurring theme any more than it already has, although I suspect that it will. If the Steelers' biggest issue between now and the start of the playoffs is getting 3 or 4 consecutive days off, guess what? That's actually in their control. That's in the head coach's purview. He can take care of that. The same offer that he made to them about this Thanksgiving game, he can find different ways to offer it going into future games. How about this? The week that they're playing the Bengals, and the Bengals throw out their fifth-string quarterback because they don't have Joe Burrow anymore. How about giving the Steelers players a bit of a break that week? You know, tell them, hey, I'll see you guys on Thursday. You know, that kind of thing. This is not an issue that is out of the Steelers' control. They're not helpless here. This head coach can find ways to cut them a break. So this whole thing about the Steelers being victimized and everything else here, I'm not buying it. I am really, again, not at all okay with the NFL or the Titans and the Ravens in these cases. To me, that's a separate issue. The Steelers themselves will be fine. When we come back, I'm going to share with you the one thing about these Steelers for which I'm most thankful on this particular day. Again, happy Thanksgiving to everyone. This is one of the good holidays, as I like to say to the kids, and always have. There isn't that much to it. There's not the opening of presents and whatever else. In our house, we basically we'll pop in the Charlie Brown DVD. You know, we've all seen it a million times. It doesn't stop you from sitting there and watching it again and marveling that Snoopy serves everyone popcorn. You know, and of course, there's the meal. The meal takes up the better chunk of the day for those who are, how shall we put this, tasked with performing that particular duty. And I'm going to be at home. I'm never at home on Thanksgiving, as my daughter pointed out. So I'm going to be home. I'm not complaining about this. I am thankful from a football standpoint for the Steelers having, for a long time now, one of the best head coaches in the game. That's gotten blurred over the years. It's been beaten down, too. And in some cases, very fairly, Mike Tomlin has not won enough playoff games, 3 in the last 9 years, since the last runs of the original, the Super Bowl teams, the conference championship teams. It's been too few and too far between for postseason successes. And that's relative to some really, really, really talented teams for which he also deserves credit, meaning the structuring of those rosters. Kevin Colbert's the GM, but Tomlin and Colbert do everything together. They communicate on everything, every draft pick, every outside acquisition. I still have never figured out, and don't know that I ever will, who's got the final say on any of that stuff. I want to say it's Art Rooney, ultimately, since he's in all these too, but the head coach deserves his credit for that, just as he deserves the fault, or his share of the fault, when a really talented group doesn't win in the playoffs. But to do what he's done year after year after year, and to build up this team right now, the 2020 team, in as gradual a way as he has, when you weigh in Ben Roethlisberger missing almost all of last season, that is a spectacular testament to this man and to this coach. I want you to think about this one thing as it relates to him before I run the risk of getting a little too syrupy on you here. Last year, after the Week 2 game against Seattle, the one in which Ben was hurt, it was very clearly the end of the world. The Steelers were going absolutely nowhere without Ben. Everyone knew that. The outlook of 1-15 was broached by a lot of people, and not necessarily without cause. You look at the NFL over the past decade or so, and you've seen when somebody's franchise quarterback goes down very early, if there isn't some, you know, Nick Foles or Ryan Fitzpatrick type just sitting around in your closet, you're not going to be able to get away with it. And the Steelers, of course, didn't have that. They had Mason Rudolph and they had Duck Hodges. And we saw how that went offensively. But go back to that week and how you felt that week and how you would have been okay to some extent if the Steelers had just kind of lost out and put themselves into position to have this great draft pick, maybe even the number one draft pick, and they'd have gotten Joe Burrow. Oh, you remember it. And this head coach and this general manager wanted nothing to do with that, because that was the week that they went out and got Minkah Fitzpatrick and gave up their first-round pick in order to do that. Stunning stuff at the time. I mean, on both directions, you know, that Miami would give up Minkah, but that the Steelers, of all teams, were going to go out and make a move like this right after losing Ben. And I remember thinking to myself at the time, because there were a lot of people suggesting, too, this is Mike Tomlin sending a message to everyone that the Steelers aren't done, that the Steelers won't quit. And I was thinking to myself, boy, is he not the message-sending type. That doesn't add up here at all. So what was this really about? And I remember thinking to myself, you know what? Ben's not the only guy who got hurt in that Seattle game. Sean Davis did too. And the Steelers needed a safety to play with Terrell Edmonds. And I thought, you know what? They probably just thought to themselves, this is all one long story, and we're not going to interrupt it. We're not going to put this on pause. We have a chance with this group that we have right here in front of us to build maybe the best defense in the NFL. But what are we missing? Sean Davis was nothing special as a safety. I mean, I don't have to work hard to prove that to you. He's currently on special teams. They needed to get better at that position. They needed to get elite at that position. They had virtually no chance of doing so internally. And it was going to take a long time to do it externally, to try to do it through the draft or a trade or whatever. They went and they made the move. Miami blew it. There's nothing that can come of this trade that would make the Dolphins look anything other than terrible in it. They got Minkah because they wanted the defense just to continue to be good and to morph into great. Why? Because it's all one story. So the defense does go from good to very good, and I mean that week. Remember the game in Santa Clara? Yeah, the Steelers almost beat the 49ers, who wound up going pretty far in the playoffs. They almost beat the 49ers with Mason at quarterback. And Minka is just collecting footballs left and right, and everyone's thinking, what have we found here? This dude looks like Rod Woodson. And the defense found confidence and kept getting better and ended up leading the NFL in takeaways and almost every other category. And that defense goes into this season believing, and rightly so, I'd say, that they're the very best at what they do in the NFL. The quarterback, the franchise quarterback, comes back, and he sees the defense doing what they've done, and he believes in the product and the process that much more. And as he's put it himself many times, I couldn't wait to come back and just play on that team that's got that defense. And if you think of the frustrations that the Steelers went through in 2017 and 2018 when their defense couldn't stop anybody, and Ben and AB and those guys were putting up a million points, you could see why he'd be seriously stoked for this, right? He comes back, everybody feeds off the defense, the young wide receivers immediately develop after having their own little pact and their own little meeting during training camp where they said, we can't let the defense be carrying us. It's all a product of what happened in 2019. Why? Because to this head coach, there is no such thing as taking the foot off the gas. When you talk about consistent performance, and by that I mean over the course of his coaching career in Pittsburgh, the number one driving factor to it is that every single season has been entered as a potential Super Bowl season, even the one where you lose Ben Roethlisberger in week two. Everyone knew that if the Steelers had gotten into those playoffs last year, they would have been bounced right away. And they almost made it. They were this close to making it. They were a sleeping tie in Cleveland away from making it. All of that stuff matters. All of that stuff adds up. All of that faith that the players have in Tomlin for not having given up on the 2019 team the way a lot of people would have been okay with, all of that adds up, and that carries over. That's why you're seeing what we're seeing this year. That's a big, big, big reason for it. And it's the big reason that I'm thankful for the performance of these Steelers this season and the guy who's very much behind it. When we come back, just a quick personal thing.
Point Park University, in the heart of downtown Pittsburgh, they understand there's no substitute for real-world experience and career-building connections. Their innovative curriculum engages students with distinctive experiential learning opportunities. Point Park's pioneering co-op program empowers qualified students to work in full-time, paid positions with their corporate partners while earning college credits. Visit pointpark.edu/works to learn more. Career ready. That's The Point, Point Park University.
Welcome back. Today won't be the same without the football tonight to look forward to. I definitely don't downplay that in spite of what I was saying earlier about not taking it as some sort of natural disaster. It would have been fun. There's going to be two other games on today that I guess we can watch as background music and whatever else. And, you know, come 8 o'clock, we're just going to have to, you know, talk to the family and interact with the fellow humans. This has been a really, really strange year. It just has. This portion of Daily Shot is brought to you by the personal injury law firm of LGKG. They represent people who are hurt in car accidents, who filed for workers' comp, who need help with medical malpractice claims. The attorneys at LGKG, including my good friend Larry Kelly, they take pride in doing what they say they're going to do. That's what Larry tells me. That's what Larry says. We stress this more than anything else. When we tell someone we're making them a promise, we're going to keep it. LGKG is available to help you in a personal injury situation. They've got offices in Cranberry, Newcastle, Beaver Falls, Butler, and Elwood City. You can learn more about them online, too, at lgkg.com or by giving them a call at 888-842-5454. Yeah, it's a weird year. We've spent a lot of time with the people that we know the best, you know, often in closed quarters or tight quarters. We've been told that we can't go and visit other people who we love and want to see, especially on a day like this. I've got one of those situations right now where we can't go see my mom out in the hospital in Monroeville, and it stinks. I understand it. I'm not criticizing it. But it's a rotten circumstance. So today at our table, since I'm stuck at home with them and not able to go do my job and cover football, I'm going to take special advantage of the day. I'm going to appreciate it a little bit more. My daughter is home from college. My son is getting up to the age where he's about to embark for college. We have everybody under one roof, or at least as many as we're allowed. And we're going to do the stuff that we always do. My Lego holiday set showed up yesterday, and yes, I'm the one who orders it. We're going to build that. I mentioned already the Peanuts cartoon thing. We do that every year as well. And then we're going to enjoy the best Thanksgiving dinner anybody could possibly imagine. And I'm not just saying that to butter up the chef. She's really, really, really good at it. I hope for everyone who listens to this show regularly, or anyone who reads our content, our written stuff at dkpittsburghsports.com, that you can enjoy your day as much as I'm hoping to enjoy mine. I also want to share that this is the time of year, especially a day like this, where it's good to give. It's good for us to express our gratitude for the things we've received from others in the other direction. And I'm asking you to support the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. They have a mission unlike any others in our region. They're feeding people who are hungry, plain and simple. GrowShareThrive.org is the website, and for a limited time, every $10 gets matched by five. That's a lot of impact that you can make in people's lives who will be thankful in their own way. Thank you very much for listening to this show, not just today, but every day. Tomorrow, I promise to, presuming I can wake up from all that, what's it called that's in the turkey? Endomorphin or something, I forget. Serotonin, I don't remember what it is. The stuff that puts you to sleep. Melatonin, maybe, I don't know. That's in there. Presuming I wake up in time, we will have a Friday show that will set up the Steelers game against the Ravens, which really, really will happen Sunday at 1:15. Thanks again.
Your front door, your car, your gym locker, your bike, your computer, your window, your gun. Safety is a habit. Every day you lock and secure your home, car, and everything you want to keep safe. Gun safety and responsible storage are no different, and the best way to help prevent accidents, misuse, and theft. If you own a firearm, it's your responsibility to store it safely when it's not in use. Choose a system that works for you. Cable locks, lock boxes, and gun safes are some of the most effective ways to protect your family and keep firearms secured. Learn more about how to keep guns safe and secure and find out how to get a free firearm safety kit. Visit ProjectChildSafe.org. That's ProjectChildSafe.org. If you have a firearm, own it, respect it, and secure it. Brought to you by the National Shooting Sports Foundation and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.